Hallelujah. Come on. God is good all the time. And all the time, God is good. Glory to God. Glory to God. I'm so glad you're with us this morning. And I just trust that God's been blessing you. He'll continue to bless you. We've decided and made for sure that we are not going to allow fear to come in because we trust God. And I hope you all have your little card, and if you don't, I think we'll put it up on the screen, but we're going to all read it together. And let's go. It says, "Trust in the Lord completely and do not rely on your own opinions. With all your heart, rely on Him to guide you, and He will lead you in every decision you make. Become intimate with Him in whatever you do, and He will lead you wherever you go." And again, that's Proverbs chapter 3 and verses 3 through 6. Now, that can be easy to do when everything is going right. You say, oh yeah, I trust the Lord, man. I just trust the Lord. But it's when you get in trouble and you don't know which way to go and things seem to be so, haywire even in your own head. It's like, Lord, I don't know what to do. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, but I'm trusting in you. I've used this scripture so many times to help people just begin to get up and say, I can't hardly go another step. And I say, well, can you make it another minute? And if you can make it another minute, then we'll make it another minute after that. But the bedrock for all of that is that, Lord, I trust you. I trust you. I trust you. I can't even figure it all out, but God, I'm going to trust you. We just thank you and praise you and honor you today for your presence, God. As we get into your word, I just thank you, Lord, that you're here. And Lord, I just sense your spirit, I sense your anointing, that you're here to talk to people and to break yokes and bondages will fall off, Lord, not because I'm here, but because you're here and your spirit is working even when we don't feel it. You're working. Even when we don't see it, you're working. And we just want to give you the praise and the glory and the honor in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. As we announced last week, the building has sold, and so we'll be starting a new adventure. And we said last week that we were looking into some contingencies, and we're not ready to announce what that contingency is, but we've got steps going forward, and we believe that God's opened a place for us. And so we're, on one hand, I won't lie to you that we're grieving a little bit because we've been here for 20 plus years and it's been home to us and we've watched God do some miraculous things. But we know that that this building isn't where God is. God is in our hearts, and if we go together, God will go with us and we will see more of what God has done. Hallelujah. I was thinking about it this morning. And I was thinking about, you know, we have chairs here that God provided for us, but the chairs aren't important. It's the people that have sat in the chairs. And we've watched little children grow up to become adults, and God, you know, spoke to them, was in their hearts. We've watched, it's so cool, we've watched people become born again. We've watched God do miraculous healings. We've seen deliverances in this building because God was here. But I'm telling you that God is going to be with us as we transition to a new adventure. And we just believe that God's going to use us. Glory to God. We're so excited about it. So stay tuned. We'll let you know exactly where. And besides, we can't meet all together now anyway, right? But I believe God's going to work that out so where we can. Glory to God. Hallelujah. If you'll turn in your Bibles to James chapter 3, as I was praying about this morning and asking God what I should do, He spoke to me about talking to you about James chapter 3. And if anybody knows what that's about, it's all about the tongue. And the tongue is the reference point for the words that you speak. And so let's just start out in verse 1, and I'm going to read the whole chapter, and then we'll come back and talk about things. It says, "My brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. For we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, He is a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body. Indeed, we put bits in the horse's mouth, and that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. Look also at ships. Although they are large, they are driven by fierce winds. They are turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires. So even so, the tongue is a little member, and it boasts great things. See how great a force a little fire kindles. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature, and is set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird of reptile and creature of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind, but no man can tame the tongue. It's an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceeds blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. Does it spring forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives? And can a grapevine bear figs? Thus no spring yields both salt water and fresh. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show it by good conduct, that his works are done by the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy, self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, and demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and of good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now let the fruit of righteousness be sown in peace by those who make peace. I wanted to read the whole chapter so that we're in context of what James is talking about here. I believe that the Holy Spirit, through this author, was speaking to something that transcends generations. And I believe that everybody is afflicted with the same thing, that we get in trouble by the words of our mouth. And even though our hearts are sanctified, even though God has come into our heart and we're you know, full of the Spirit of God, yet our flesh can get in and our tongues can lead us down paths that we don't want to go. There's a verse of Scripture that says that we reap what we sow. And God wants us to sow good things so that we reap good things. Come on. He wants us to sow things so that we reap things. And what we need to be sowing is God's Word, and putting into our heart what God has said, and looking at people through the lens of His mercy and His grace, and not through our preconceived ideas. But your tongue is the rudder to your life. I don't know if you know that or not, but it's absolutely true. I was thinking about this as I was going through this. I've known many people who've been victimized, and most of us can say that we've been victimized, and some eat more severely than others. And by no means am I making light of that and the pain that's associated with that. But I've seen people come out of victimization and be healed of victimization, but only when their tongue changes their tune from being a victim to becoming a victor in Christ Jesus. You see, if you continue to say the same thing, if you continue to talk about how bad it was and how awful it was and that you're just a victim, it's like you've got one of those hats on with the light that spirals and say, look at me, I'm a victim, I'm a victim, I'm a victim. And there's something about in the spirit world, you see, because words frame things in the spirit world. And I can prove that by just, if you just go back to Genesis, it said God said light be and light was. See, he spoke words, and words came into existence because of the power that's behind the words. And I want you to know that God wants you to speak things that will sow seed for the best years of your life, rather than reliving over and over again the pain that people put on you, but it really, if you think about it, it was just Satan's plot to destroy you. But when you became born again, things changed. When you gave your heart to Jesus, things changed. If you haven't done that yet, we'll give you an opportunity to do that. But the Bible says that when I gave my heart to Christ, I became a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. If I was a victim before, I'm not a victim now, because I'm not rejected, I'm accepted. I'm not hated, I'm loved. I'm not trying to get to heaven. I'm already seated in heaven with Jesus in heavenly places, it says in Ephesians. So I need you to know that what is coming out of your mouth is really important, not only for you, but for the people around you. It's interesting that it talks about envy, it talks about bitterness, it talks about jealousy. And if you think about it, we all could have those in our hearts, but are we letting it slip out of our mouth? If we are, we're sowing to the wrong thing. We're not sowing to life, we're sowing to death. And God wants us to have life and have it abundantly. But we've got to understand that our hearts can be full of several different things at once, but we are the ones that need to try to control what's coming out of our mouth. And sometimes I wish God would have installed a zipper, right? So he could just zip that thing closed and not let come out of our mouth. You know, I've known people who say, well, you know, I just say what I feel. Well, that's your problem. Because feelings don't always line up with the word. Feelings aren't bad. And I think there's a place to express your feelings, but not to be dominated by your feelings. Not to let your feelings be the roadmap for where you're going, but letting the Word of God be the roadmap for where you're going. Go to Proverbs chapter 12. We're going to look in the book of Proverbs. One thing that I try to do, and I don't hit it every day, but I try to go through a proverb a day because I want wisdom. I'm going after wisdom. I want to know that I know that I know that I know more this year than I did last year. And I'm not talking just about worldly wisdom. I'm talking about the wisdom that comes from God. I want to know God. I want God to know me. I want to, when I talk to people and I talk to them about God, I'm not talking about a theory. I'm talking about a person that I have a relationship with. And we can know him by his word. Glory to God. Proverbs chapter 12, and let's go to verse 18, chapter 12 and verse 18. Well, we'll start at verse 17. It says, he who speaks the truth declares righteousness, but a false witness is deceit. There is one who speaks like the piercing of a sword, but the tongue of the wise promotes health. What are you doing in your life? What are you doing to your family? What are you doing to those people around you? Are you promoting health? Or are you allowing your tongue to be a sword that pierces people, that destroys people? Now, I'm not one of those who believes in the participation trophy idea that, you know, you have to tell everybody's good and you can't point out negative things. In fact, I think that pointing out negative things, especially where personal development is a great thing if it's motivated by love. If the person who's giving it is concerned about the person that they're giving it to rather than the comfort of their own self. In other words, they're trying to promote what God has for people going forward. But that doesn't mean that we can just allow our wrath to come out when we're speaking those things. We have to learn to speak the truth in love. And if you can't speak it in love, keep your mouth shut. Why? Because you're sowing seed that you're going to reap a harvest of. And God wants you to have a good life. He wants you to have a blessed life. He wants you to be blessed. Go to chapter 13, just across the page here. And verse 3, it says, he who guards his mouth preserves his life, but he opens wide his lips shall have destruction. That's an incredible statement. He who guards his mouth preserves his life. What does that mean? That just think about this. If you were in the service and you're on guard duty and you have your rifle there, you're guarding that gate and you're keeping out what shouldn't be coming in, but at the same right, you're keeping in what shouldn't come out. And so it's the person who is wise, he guards his mouth, he preserves his life. What does that mean? He makes his life safe. He makes his life safe. I want your life to be safe. I want your life to be full of the life of God. I want God's life and his joy and his peace and all of the things that he's promised to us to be a part of you. But I'm telling you that oftentimes we're robbed of it because we allow the enemy to put thoughts into our mind and it gets embedded into our hearts, and pretty soon we're spewing out what God has said. I mean, how many times have people thought something about somebody else who was thinking something about them, and it put them into depression when the actual truth is that the people that they thought were thinking of them weren't thinking of them at all? They were deceived, and the enemy used that as a point of torment. I'm telling you, you don't have to allow that to happen. You can put a guard over your own heart and then use that guard to make sure that what's coming out of your mouth lines up with the scripture rather than somebody else's opinion. I don't know about you, but the more I understand that God loves me, the less I'm concerned about your opinion of me. Now, I'm not saying I don't want you to like me. I like to be liked. But the reality is, you can reject me, but I know that God's already accepted me. You can tell me that I'm going to, not make it to heaven, but I already know and have assurance that I've been born again and that that's where I'm going because of his word declares it to me. But not just that, the Bible says that we know in our spirit that we've been made right with God. Glory to God. See, I believe that we need to speak out of what we know that's been and put it into our heart by the word of God. Go to chapter 15. I am concerned about what you're saying. And God is concerned about what you're saying. The whole chapter in James was wrapped up into what's coming out of your mouth. Where are you going in your life? Where are you going with your life in God? Look, if you're saying things like this, well, I don't know if God loves me or not. I don't know if I'm worthy. I don't know if I'm going to make it to heaven. I don't know. All of those things that have already been defined in the Word of God are taking you emotionally to a place you don't need to be. It's stealing your joy, stealing your peace, and you're sowing into it by the words that are coming out of your mouth. And what I'm saying is use the Word of God as your sword and stand guard against the things that the enemy would try to tackle you with. Come on, here's one, here's a great one. I don't know if I can do that. Well, look at, if God's told you to do something, then you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. So rather than say, I don't know if I can do that, or even worse, I can't do that, because the minute that you sow with your tongue, I can't, you're defeated, you won't. But when you stand up and say, look, I don't know how this is going to happen, and within my own strength, I don't see it, but God, I'm resting in the fact that you're with me and that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Verse 1 of Proverbs 15, it says, a soft answer turns away wrath, but harsh words stir up anger. How you deal with people will go a long ways if you'll begin to get a hold of your tongue. Now, you and I both know people, and I've described people like this. A lot of people in relationships, they're either sharks or they're turtles. And a shark attacks and devours, and a turtle just goes within themselves. They just hunker, and both of them are totally wrong and totally outside of where God wants us to be. A shark, boy, if they get offended, they're just going to come in and destroy everything in their midst. And then watch, here's what they'll do later, especially if they're Christians, they go, you know, I probably shouldn't have done that. And they'll say, well, forgive me for that. And they expect the people that are lying there bloody, bruised, and completely obliterated to just, oh, okay, then everything's fine. But the reality is their tongue has destroyed a person's heart. Now, a person doesn't have to stay there if they know the word, if they pick themselves up, if they say, listen, I'm not going to let your opinion change God's opinion of me, but I'm going to let God's opinion be what's coming into my heart and out of my mouth. Glory to God. Verse 2 says, the tongue of the wise uses knowledge rightly, but the mouth of fools pours forth foolishness. Come on. I love this, and I don't know where it is right now, but and I'm going to paraphrase it. It says something like this. If you, even a fool seems wise if they keep their mouth shut. Even a fool seems wise if they keep their mouth shut. Have you ever known people that have to just continue, have to be an expert at everything? And they just, it's almost like they talk to hear themselves talk. Well, that comes from a place of insecurity. But a wise man, one who's walking with God, the one who wants to bridle his tongue so that his tongue is leading him the way that God wants him to go, will say, now, wait a minute. I'm going to sit back and I'm going to listen. And when God puts something on my heart, that's what I'm going to speak. Verse 3 says, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, keeping watch on both the good and evil. Verse 4, a wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness in it breaks the spirit. The wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness in it breaks the spirit. You might think that it's not a big deal for the words that you're speaking. And I'm not necessarily just speaking about, although it's included in it, your vocabulary using words that are just not fitting for you. Come on. Just because you're in an environment where they're using it, you have to get to the place where your heart is more concerned with saying what God would have you say. And look at, you know, this is a little bit of a side journey, but not really. When I became born again and I knew that God was with me and I knew that he was in me, I said, Lord, I'm now representing you. So I don't want my life to be such that it gives you a bad name. I don't want my words to be such that it dishonors you. And so we have to live a standard and understand that our tongue is a vital part of where we've been and where we're going. But if we've been born again, our past is gone, and we should look to the Word to give us the very things that should be coming out of our mouth. Glory to God. Look at chapter 18. I think God put this on my heart because some of you are sitting in the pit because of what you've been saying. You're in depression. You're year after year after year. Somebody else victimizes you. This happens, and you're blaming everybody else. And what that does is it absolutely keeps you totally helpless. But you're not helpless. But you've got to take hold of your words. You got to take hold of your thoughts. You got to begin to see yourself as God sees you. You've got to see yourself, first of all, as an eternal being that's born again, that's going to spend eternity with God. And Paul said this, he said it this way, he said, this light affliction that I'm going through, you want to hear about somebody that was wronged, it was the Apostle Paul, but he said, this light affliction that I'm going through is nothing in comparison to the eternal glory that I'm headed toward. See, our mouths should be so much more full of where we're going than where we've been. Listen, you're going to spend eternity with love. You're going to, not in love, with love. You're going to spend eternity with peace. You're going to spend eternity with wisdom. That's where you're headed. That's where God has for you. Come on. It's so good. It's so awesome. But look at verse 8 of Proverbs 18. The words of a talebearer are like tasty trifles, and they go down into the inmost body. It's what are you allowing to come into yourself, and what words are you, not just your words, but the words of others, what are you allowing to come in? Gossip, man, it's tasty. And sometimes it's like, you know, I can look better if I know that that person is not as good. And so we're listening to gossip, and we're listening, and that gets into us. Watch this. And the truth might not be in the gossip. The actual picture of what's being said may not portray the truth of the situation, but yet it tastes good, and you put it right into you. And watch this. This is so important. Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Somebody said this, well, you never know what's in another man's heart. Stick around. Walk with them for a while. Live with them. If you live with somebody, you'll know what's in their heart because it's coming out of their mouth. But as Christians, this is so cool. We can change what's in our heart by putting the Word of God into our heart and saying, this is now my standard. This is who I am. This is who Christ has made me to be. I'm going to walk in the light of His Word. Listen, I can't overcome sin on my own, but I don't have to, because the life of Jesus came into me at the cross, at the absolute transfer that happened between the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. I have the life of God living on the inside of me. Sin no longer has the right to have dominion over me. But yet with our tongues, we're saying, well, I just can't get over this. I just can't stop this. I can't. And the reality is your words are taking you to a place that's going to keep you where you are rather than allowing you to go where you want to be. Come on. The tongue. What are we saying? And especially, what are we saying with others? Back in James chapter 3, where it said, look at out of the same mouth, out of the same mouth, we praise God. I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you. Oh, my soul, rejoice. And then we go and curse somebody that God loves. God's going, huh? Huh? This is bipolar. This is schizophrenic. This is mentally ill, and yet we allow it to happen, and we need to quit. We need to say, look at, no longer am I going to allow my ship to be steered by my emotions and my feelings when my emotions and my feelings are contrary to God's word. Come on. Well, I just feel what I feel. You know, that's a lie. But it's a lie that people would, and especially the enemy, would like you to just embrace. But the reality is that your feelings are a product of your thoughts. And your thoughts are a product of the words that you're either listening to or you're saying yourself. If you change your thought pattern, if you say, change your truth foundation, your feelings will change. Praise God. God's empowered you. The greatest, I believe this, the greatest force on the earth, as far as humans are concerned, is that we have the power of choice. You have the power of choice. You can choose to do what you want to do? Or look at verse 21 of that same chapter. Verse 21. And this has been quoted a lot, but it says, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit." What fruit? Death or life? Death or life. You'll either eat death fruit or life fruit. Which do you want? Which do you want? Have you ever had a banana that you forgot about? And it's all black, and you pick it up and it's mushy? Well, that's because it's decayed. Would you rather eat that one or one that's completely ripe and ready to eat? Watch this now, because this is really important. I saw this today, and it's so cool. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. That word power there in the Hebrew is translated many other places in Genesis chapter 1. I believe it's where it's talking about the people at the Tower of Babel. Whatever they put in their hands to do, they'll do. It's that same power. In other words, it's the power extended through the hand, or what your strength is able to do. Come on. Now watch this. Death and life are in the strength of what you're able to do. What does that mean? That you're in charge. You're in charge. You're in charge. You've got to stop blaming others. You've got to stop focusing on what somebody else did to you. Look at people sometimes are absolutely brutal. Sometimes we're brutal, right? And yet I'm not going to be swayed or determined by what somebody else does to me. Have you ever been hurt? So have I. So have I. But it's time for us to get over that and put into our hearts what God has said about us and quit rehearsing over and over again how bad you've got it. Because that's victim talk that will keep you a victim longer than you need to be. Listen, Jesus said, "The truth shall set you free." I want His truth so that I can be free. And the Bible says that if He set you free, you're free indeed. Then why are we still walking around in bondage? It's because our hearts haven't been filled with the right words, so the wrong words are continue to coming out of our mouth. And so we're steering our ship. We're going back to that place of being a victim. Glory to God. And what we need to do is get a new mentality. I think about this. As a kid, and even now in the lockdown, I'll go to some of the Western and watch old Westerns. And there's one thing about a horse. If a horse, you get knocked off the horse or whatever, the horse will return back to its barn. Where's the horse? Well, and people go, "The horse has come back. What happened to Bruce?" And they'll go out and search for Bruce because the horse is back. Listen, sometimes we're like that horse because of our words, that we go right back to the place where we've been rather than building a new home with the Word of God and say, "Listen, I am going to now sit in the place where God has put me." Whew. I'm telling you, God has made such an incredible deal with us that it's beyond words. Did you know that the Bible says that you can come boldly before the throne of grace to find help in your time of need? But yet you pray, and then you say, after you prayed, "I don't know what I'm going to do. Nobody's helping me. Nobody's going to..." And what you do is you put yourself back in that victim's mentality rather than saying, "You know what? God is for me. And if God be for me, who can be against me? Death can't even hurt me. Come on, people can't even hurt me because I'm with God and He's with me." Look at Matthew chapter 12, the Gospel of Matthew. And this is Jesus talking here. And sometimes we don't really think about this, but it's the reality. Matthew chapter 12, Matthew chapter 12. Let me see, I got the wrong verse here. Verse 36. I wrote down 26, but it's verse 36. We'll back up and go to verse 35. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasures of his heart brings forth evil things. But I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give an account of it on the day of judgment. Are your words important? Yes. Verse 37, for by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. It's that tongue, it's your words, it's what's coming out. But God said this, by every idle word. In other words, he's looking at and keeping record of everything that you said. I plead the blood over everything I've said right now in Jesus' name, because I don't want that coming back to bite me. But watch, it is affecting me every day, what's coming out of my mouth. And we have to begin to encourage ourselves with the Word of God. Go back to Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs chapter 6. And we'll close in just a minute. I believe that God wants good things for you. But God doesn't always promise that life will be easy. Sometimes life is hard. This whole, I'll just be honest, the whole transition for not going to be in this building after being here for 20 years is hard. I've had to talk to myself. I've had to, you know, not get in self-pity and just go, Lord, this may not be the way that I thought it was going to go. It may not even be perfectly aligned with your will, but it is what it is. I know you're going to go with me. If it's plan A, plan B, plan C, God, you're for me. And the whole purpose of me being in this building is so that you can use us to bless other people, so that your word can produce something in the hearts of other people. Glory to God. Look at verse 16. These six things the Lord hates, and seven are abomination to him: a proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that are swift in running to evil, a false witness who speaks lies, and one who sows discord among the brethren. All of these things that are listed here are heart issues. But they're not just heart issues, they're also tongue issues. And if we'll change our hearts and say, Lord, I don't want to do anything or be involved in anything that you hate. Come on. I don't want to be involved with anything that you hate. And so with my tongue, I'm going to say, I will not be a part of a proud look, of a lying tongue, of a hand that sheds innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that are set to running to evil, a false witness who speaks lies, and to one who sows discord among the brethren. I'm going to be as such that I'm working with Jesus, I'm working for him, and I'm going to get my mouth in line with what his word says. James chapter 1. James chapter 1. I promise that I'm closing. I want you to know that God is for you, that God has a plan for you, that God loves you, and what you're going through right now does not determine how God views you. Because God sees you as complete in him. God sees you as holy in him. God sees you through the blood of Jesus, and I'm so glad that he does. Verse 26, if anyone among you thinks he's religious and does not bridle his tongue but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. Boy, that's pretty strong. And you know, we think, especially in our circles, that when we use the words religious, we're talking about people that are, you know, strict to laws and whatever. But really what this is saying, we could translate it like this. If anyone among you thinks he's a Christian and does not bridle his tongue but deceives his own heart, this one's Christianity is useless. And so what I'm saying is that God wants to use you as an instrument for righteousness to bless people, but we've got to come back to quoting the word of God over ourselves and watching what's coming out of our mouth. I love you today, man, and I'm just so pleased that God has been with us. He's in this. His Spirit is here. He wants to touch you right now. I want to pray for you and those that are here in Jesus' name. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you right now for your word. And Lord, we want to be part of repentance. We want our hearts to be stirred, God, so that we don't just say, well, yeah, that was a good word and not do anything about it. But we pray, God, that your Spirit would show us and help us to make the corrections that are needed so that, Father, we can be pleasing to you and that we can sow to a future that you've designed for us. Lord, I pray over every person here. If they don't know Jesus is Lord, if you don't know Jesus is Lord, I want you to make him Lord today. I want you to ask him to forgive you of your sin. Say, Jesus, I thank you that I need a Savior, and if I confess with my mouth and believe in my heart that Jesus is Lord and that God has raised him from the dead, I'll be saved. I can be a new creature. If that's you, just pray right now. Say, Lord, I need Jesus to be my Savior. I'm calling upon Jesus right now. Jesus, if you can do anything with this life, I give it to you. I just allow you to be Lord of my life. If you're there, you need healing, you need finances, come on, reach out. God is going to touch you. God's going to bless you. And right now, in the name of Jesus, I just thank you, God, for healing your people, for supplying for your people, and God, for encouraging your people. I want you to know this, and I want you to say this over and over, that I am accepted in the Beloved. God loves me. God's for me. These circumstances don't rule me, but I am going to walk in victory as a victorious Christian, no matter what my circumstances are, in Jesus' name. God bless you. We'll be with you again on Wednesday night. We're just so excited about what God has done in you and for you. Again, if you need anything at all, you can give me a call. And again, my phone number, for those that don't have it, you don't have a bulletin, so it's 360-731-6068. Just give me a call. God bless you. Be blessed in Jesus' name. Amen.